Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Viewpoints on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel with my colleague Burkhard Varnholt. Burkhard, welcome back. Joining us today for a timely Viewpoints conversation following a bold rate cut yesterday by the Fed. And I would like to use today's time to explain to our listeners what this move will likely mean for our clients' invested assets and whether it'll drive the economy, markets, and interest rates. So let me simply start by asking you to share with us your take on yesterday's rate cut by the Fed.
Well, clearly, Jerome Powell and the Fed were clearly saying mission accomplished. You know, yesterday's cut boldly ends its tightening cycle, which started in March 2022, and which was aimed at bringing inflation back down to 2%, even if that caused a recession. Inflation isn't quite there yet, but it's close and getting there. And the solid U.S. economy defied all the recessionists to maintain that it'll all end badly. Instead, the Fed emerges as a double winner. The fight against inflation is almost accomplished, and the U.S. economy was never bigger, more profitable than it is today. And this is essentially confirming our roaring 20 scenario of productivity-driven growth. Jerome Powell couldn't have been any clearer when he endorsed this view by stating the labor market, quote Jerome Powell, is in solid condition, and our intention with our policy move today is to keep it there. You can say that about the whole economy. The U.S. economy is in good shape. It's growing at a solid pace. Inflation is coming down. The labor market is at a strong pace. We want to keep it there. That's what we're doing. We agree with it.
Well, Burkhard, in our chats, you've been very outspoken about the strength of markets and the U.S. economy throughout this year. Clearly, that's offered valuable guidance to our clients. Now, I think that raises at least two related questions on which I'd like to get your view on today. The first one is about the future direction of the overall yield curve, and the second one relates more to the global macro environment of debt, inflation, as well as market preferences. So let's start with the direction of the yield curve and what it means for our clients' invested assets.
Good question. Let me offer three thoughts on that. For one, the yield curve seems to finally normalize again, good enough. While the Fed will probably keep cutting rates at least two, three more times, we think two more times this year, long yields should remain somewhat higher. And that's really because of the strong economy, U.S. consumers, the earnings power of U.S. corporations, and the growing funding needs of continued fiscal profligacy. Now, having said that, for as long as inflation remains well-behaved, yields will be well-behaved too, so they should remain below 4%. The second thought is, remember the U.S. Fed usually leads the world? I mean, while this time European central banks began easing a little earlier, yesterday's rate cut was really warmly welcomed by the Asia-Pacific region and emerging market central banks in general. So investors should expect them to ease policy too, and especially emerging market bond indices to fly high. And third, I think this is an important one. The Fed has paved the way for stocks to finish the year at new all-time highs. While we're still cautious about the pre-election volatility, you know, once that's gone, a Santa rally could be fueled by cheap money, Christmas spending, and more clarity on the future of U.S. policy.
Well, Burkhard, that does sound compelling, though before we get too excited, I would like to pose a structural question, which some of our clients are raising repeatedly. The U.S. has never carried a bigger burden of government debt, more so than today. And this year, the Treasury has spent $1 trillion to service its $35 trillion of debt, and there's every indication that fiscal deficits will add to that for very long. Now, are those dynamics not challenging our benign outlook for equities, bonds, and the overall economy?
Indeed, I think you are articulating the Fed's continuous balancing act of keeping interest rates low enough to help the Treasury and yet high enough to attract sufficient interest by investors in U.S. Treasuries. So I think there are at least two things our clients should bear in mind here. For one, and rather ironically, when government debt grows, bond yields normally fall. The best illustration for this is Japan. Its government debt grew from about 50% to GDP in 1980 to round about 230% of GDP today. And yet, Japanese government yields have hovered around zero for years. That's partly due to debt monetization and partly the insatiable demand for government bonds created by a demographically aging society and its pension funds. And while there are some differences between the U.S. and Japan, most notably that a third of the overall U.S. government debt is held by foreigners, the fundamental forces in place are quite similar. The bigger the government burden, the bigger the pressure on yields to stay low. Secondly, and good enough, the disinflationary forces of our time mean that this is not as blatant a dilution of bondholders as it has been in Japan for a while. Consider this. For one, with China's economy moribund, particularly the Chinese consumer sector, Chinese manufacturers are flooding global markets with their inexpensive wares. And besides exporting cheap goods, they're essentially exporting deflation. Secondly, arguably, the person who contributed most in the fight against inflation in our book is maybe not Jerome Powell, but maybe Jeff Bezos. Because, you know, online shopping platforms like Amazon and others, of course, have a huge impact on lowering overall consumer prices through price transparency. Add to that artificial intelligence, which is only going to contribute to making price comparisons easier and to cheapening many goods and services by higher productivity. So, you know, the long and short of it is this. For good and for bad reasons, i.e. to participate in growth and b. to avoid the financial repression from growing government debt, the single most important takeaway for investors is to stay invested at all times. Let me repeat that. To stay invested at all times and be globally diversified. That's what I think we should conclude at this juncture.
Well, Burkhard, very valuable guidance there to end on, and do, of course, want to thank you once again for dropping by the podcast, spending some time today with our listeners, our clients, to share with them your timely insights into this week's central bank developments, namely, of course, the Fed, and what this all means for the economy, rates, and markets. And I wish you a nice weekend. Do look forward to picking back up with our conversation in the week ahead.
Likewise, Dan, and thank you for having me as always. Have a good rest of the day.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.